4 episodes down,
mm-hmm.
2 to go.
I know. It's kind of, like, sad.
It has flown by way too quickly.
Yeah, and, you know, even though that these episodes have been rather longer.
Not this past week's.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just don't want it to end. I want it to end, but I don't want it to end. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I want to know how it wraps up, but then what am I going to wait for and look forward to?
It has quickly become, in my mind, as powerful, as influential, as some of the greatest sitcoms we'll ever watch.
Yeah.
Friends, The
Seinfeld.
Office, Seinfeld.
Even like
The Sopranos.
Yeah, I was going to say that. The Sopranos, that was one of the big ones for HBO. True Blood was a big one.
Yep.
And then this one kind of came in.
This, to me, is, for me, is
top notch.
Seinfeld, Sopranos, Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones is only sitting at third because it's not done yet. It may drop to eighth. It may go up to number two.
Depending. Don't just black out on us like The Sopranos.
No.
Oh,
well,
a Journey song. And then
I have watched a couple episodes and I went, we're going to get a blackout finish. I just...
No, please don't.
I hope not. There's nobody that hopes not more than me.
Yeah. So, this episode, we've already defeated the Night King.
Yep. In tacky fashion.
Yeah. We know that you're not a fan of that.
Go back and listen to last week's.
Yeah.
Not going to get into that again because I can do the whole podcast
again. Oh, my gosh. We don't
again.
Have like 45 minutes just to talk about you and how the Night King should have died.
I'm not alone, by the way.
I know you're not. The world of Twitter and Instagram and all, everyone else is in there. But so we start off on like a high note. Everyone's like partying.
Yeah.
And everyone's excited.
Tons of celebration.
Yeah. Some interesting interactions with folks like the Hound and like some bar maidens and stuff.
Yeah. I think that he always seems to me like he wants to be sad and lonely. He's that guy who could go to an office Christmas party and intentionally be upset.
Right. The Eeyore of the cast of Game of Thrones.
But unlike that guy at the party, everybody's afraid of that dude because he is a bad A. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, even like when a
like
girl...
he can back it up.
Yeah, when a girl was like having advances towards him or whatever, and he's like, I'm going to sit here and drink. And Sansa was like, you know, why didn't you do, you know, get a little moment of happiness and da-da-da. And then he goes back to like... There's a lot of like going back to season one I've noticed in this because mm-hmm. then he references, you know, when that whole riot happened and she was almost taken.
Little Bird.
And yeah, he saved her. He's like, you've changed a lot, Little Bird. And then when they have the whole exchange about Ramsay and how she killed him, and he goes, how? And she goes, with hounds. And they laughed. That was a cool comedic moment.
Yep. I also appreciate that she was very quick to tell him, because he did apologize in a rare moment of, he said, if it wasn't an apology, he never said the word sorry, but it was one of those, if you had come with me, that would have never happened. And her response was, if it hadn't happened, I wouldn't have changed out of being a little bird. And I went, oh, that's money.
A nice, like, let's all, like, grow and get better from these horrible experiences.
But I also think, even in that moment, this whole time, it didn't matter how the last battle panned out, he's got unfinished business.
It's with the Mountain. It's with his brother.
Yeah,
we
naturally.
All know that. I mean, that's the person who burnt the side of his face, so of course
retribution.
He's gonna, so that's the only thing that's going to, quote-unquote, make him happy.
Mm-hmm. Or closure.
Yeah, so we span through that, and we see some other interactions and stuff. You get the whole...
Coffee cup.
The coffee cup. Oh,
it's
my gosh.
It's herbal tea.
Oh, well, did you... Starbucks got $11 million worth of advertising for how many people saw it, and not just seeing it, but talking about it and making it go viral, and HBO has been so embarrassed about it, but it's so funny.
But they've played it off so well, and the only person who loses in this, Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they need to come up with a creative ad campaign for that or something.
Well,
find another, like... Go with some popular show and ask them, can we please have our cups like on your desk or something? But
they'll get theirs in the spinoff.
It'll happen. So then you have the exchange, I guess, with Danny and John at some point. The first initial exchange about, you know, please don't tell anybody who you really are.
I think you need to kind of go back just a hair before that when we're at the celebration.
Uh-huh.
And Tormund is just bragging about John. And
I
think this is the first real moment. Honestly, like, it's one thing for John to tell you. Like, it's really one thing for a buddy to tell you a story or your girlfriend to be like, hey, you know, this happened to me.
Mm. Yeah.
And then to hear Tormund tell of how John beat death. And I
and
think
to make
it was
it
Daenerys
like this
is
big, like
he wasn't messing around.
Yeah, like this big like tale that will be told throughout generation and generation because, you know, Tormund's very like theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that kind of
woman still here.
And it really taken. I think it really did take her back, and I think that's what led to the other conversation.
Absolutely.
To start. So she's basically begging him not to tell anybody that she is his aunt and that they are related and that he is a Targaryen, right. And he really has the rightful claim to the throne, and then he's all like goo-goo gaga over her.
I don't
her,
want
like,
it. I don't want
I bent the knee. You're my queen. You're my queen. And mm-hmm. she's pretty much like, no, this is how it's going to be.
Right.
And
it,
they
it's
might,
only going to take one person.
And they might force you to be, so you have to swear that you can't tell anybody. Well, what's he do? He tells people.
Well.
But that's a little later down.
He trusts his family. They've
yeah.
always been honest with one another.
The Starks, they're
he
little core.
He is also, I think, trying to make amends for the unofficial lies that Ned said, that Ned shared, that, you know, I'll tell you all next time we meet. He's kept this secret that long.
Mm-hmm.
He's had this whole thing, and Ned hid John from Baratheon, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, because they would have killed him.
I mean, that's really been an underlying thing that nobody's really appreciated is
how like
we
Ned
talk
protected.
About the Mad King, the Mad King, the Mad King, and yet Baratheon would have hunted them down.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was the beginning. Like if you go again back to season one, mm-hmm. Baratheon wants the other son and the daughter toasted.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine what John's claim is. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just. And he was a baby. Baratheon would have had him like on a stake.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, you really talk about in the level of Mad King, are we giving Targaryen a pass? Or did the namesake of the Mad King come through Baratheon's, call it snake in the grass, charm to have this uprising?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are questions that I don't think you ever fully get answered.
It's almost like open to interpretation at this point.
Where did the Mad King come from?
Right.
Who said he was mad?
What made him mad? Was he mad or was it just by perception? Was he doing the rightful thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like when the little children of the forest or whatever created the Night King, it was to kind of like re-cleanse the earth or establish, you know, peace, and then it ended up being a big mistake and backfiring or whatever.
He walked like 20 miles south of the wall.
Yeah, you know. So
cleanse the world and I lose it between here and Chatham.
Yeah, it's done. Tight squeeze area. Here we go. So,
that'd be an amazing battle.
We had Arya. She had a pretty pivotal moment. She basically had a proposal.
Yep. From the new lord of
Baratheon.
From Gendry, who is allowed to have his father's name in a really rallying moment for Daenerys. I think she did that for no other reason that she gave him the title. One, it gets him out of her reach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no claim going to be mm-hmm. laid there because he's put over at Storm's End.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's, I think that wasn't so much of like, yay, war hero, as much as it was, go do something else.
Or, and it could, think about this. Does she know about Arya and him? Could it have been like a little like, well, maybe get Arya out of John's back pocket too? You know, I mean, that's just kind of, that might be a stretch.
I think the outside of her claiming Arya Stark as the key to victory,
mm-hmm.
I don't think Arya's even been the slightest bit of threat to Daenerys in Daenerys's head. She's just a little girl.
Because, well, and we find out when, you know, Gendry is all like, I'm a lord and I want you to be my lady. Please marry me. You're beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, it was that
I've never
typical.
Been a lady.
It's that typical, like, you'll make some other woman very mm-hmm. happy and she'll be very lucky to
friend
have
zoned.
You.
Friend zoned.
Oh, like my pictures on Facebook, but please.
Yeah, don't comment on them.
We cannot go out. I'll speak to you at a barbecue, but we
that
cannot
was,
go out.
That was a one-off. We're good. We'll talk later.
Yeah. Oh,
see you around.
Nice, buddy. Pat on the back. But, yeah, so you get to find out that Arya is pretty much like, nah, I'm going to be like a fighter. And she's basically going to be like Brienne. Like,
right.
That's a short version of Brienne. So.
Can we stop and go there now?
Yeah, let's
wow.
pump the brakes a little bit.
So glad we got to her name.
I mean, the segue was so very natural.
The genuine heartbreak of Tormund. It hurt me.
You think so?
He tugged at heartstrings. He thought the world of her. And then Lannister. Mm-hmm. Always with the Lannister.
Always the Lannister.
Every time.
Yeah, he was upset. You could tell. I mean, he's been, like, these feelings for her have been, like, three seasons strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, he was doing his best in his own wildling way to woo her.
Uh-huh.
And it never made it. She was always and has always been so smitten with Jaime.
Yeah. Ever since he saved her from the bear pit.
Well, not just that, but.
Well, and I think the whole.
That whole journey.
The whole fighting. She got to know him on mm-hmm. the journey back. Because he was a prisoner at first, and then when they both get captured, and then he could have just scooted on,
right.
loses an arm, saves her. They get to, like, fight together and everything, and they just went through a horrible battle together. We thought that they were going to die.
And there is the knight complex, let's just be honest.
I mean, yeah, she's a knight.
He's the guy on the trading card. Tormund is the guy who collects trading cards.
Right. He's the guy who is the Kingslayer.
He's the bad boy.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, it's the typical 1980s, like, mm-hmm. teen movie. I'm going to go after that guy with the leather jacket, not you, nerd. Like, right. you know, it's typical
yep.
that.
So we'll do that later on.
Though. Yeah. But, yeah, because then it'll bite you in the butt. So then she goes, you know, she flees or whatever. After Tyrion makes a comment, what was it that he said? He made it uncomfortable.
He talked about her being a virgin. And they were doing a version of Never Have I Ever without it being, I mean, without using the same connotation, because that way like nobody in Game of Thrones would go, Never Have I Ever.
Yeah, yeah. It was just kind of like a drinking game or whatever.
Right, just a drinking game that Tyrion made up as he went. Which
yeah, and then like she feels uncomfortable and gets up and leaves, and Jaime follows.
Somebody plucked a nerve.
Yeah, so Jaime follows, and it's like, it's so hot in here, and I've learned from Winterfell when you stoke the fire, you add, you know, more
anytime
firewood.
You leave the room, you add a log to the fire.
Yeah, and so apparently it was blazing hot. But, you know, I mean, here's Jaime. Oh, conveniently, I need to take my shirt off. And then
right. And he's trashed.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there. He is trashed.
And I think that's that liquid courage that mm-hmm. I think he needed to step over that
seal the deal.
Yeah. And so then that, you know, that happens that we all thought was going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us, really, we wanted the giant and the big woman to end up together.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
Nope.
I wanted to.
Not nearly as poetic.
Okay. Well, nope. I mean, the poetic, though, I mean, if we want to fast forward a little bit after
right.
the whole event takes place and she's smitten.
For a couple of days.
Yeah, she's smitten.
It's a long weekend in the woods.
Yeah, she's smitten or
summer
whatever.
Summer loving.
We go and we... happens so fast.
All right.
Oh,
those
no, summer
we're good.
Nights.
Stop.
Oh, well. You started it.
I didn't.
Tell me more.
I'm sorry.
Did he leave you for Cersei? Tell me more. Because he did.
This is horrible. This is taking a serious...
So that's okay.
Train
wrecks
that aren't this bad.
You know, as we go along from Game of Greece, move back to Game of Thrones. So then, of course, you know, the whole, please stay with me, be here in Winterfell
right.
with me. And he's like, you know, I pushed a boy out of a window for Cersei.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you how badly I've been, so you
Cersei.
Give me a pass. You're
I
like,
want you to hate me.
I want you to hate me so it doesn't hurt so much.
Yeah.
Huh. It's yeah. me smacking both of them.
Yeah. So
like,
he goes
like
through,
in one collective.
He goes through his resume of horrible person in the world. And we have to sit there and be like, yeah, you're right. Oh, jerk, 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 jerk. And then it's like, basically, I did so many horrible things and probably will continue to do so many horrible things for Cersei.
I hope he does horrible things for her.
I hope he does horrible things to her.
Well,
I hope that
of,
comes to fruition.
Kind of
I hope that that's one of those things that he ends up being the one taking her out, because that was the whole prophecy.
I still have a belief that it will be Jaime that does it, but it's not actually Jaime, but that's fine.
Maybe Arya as Jaime.
That's kind of where my thoughts
Arya,
are.
Arya, she's so sneaky.
Right.
So what else do we want to talk about in this scheme of things?
We also have, just from my perspective, maybe you didn't see it this way, but during the celebration, after kind of the cheers and the toasts and all that were kind of sorted out and people started to break down and kind of dissipate into their own groups, did you notice that Daenerys sat alone the entire time? Jon had his buddies, and
she was a little
chatted.
More like secluded.
Everyone was kind of off on their own, and outside of Varys, who was just close by, Tyrion was drinking with his brother and Brienne. I mean, she really did sit there by herself.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe foreshadowing how mm-hmm. like Daenerys is really going to be the one, the only one supporting Daenerys at some point, because if we fast forward just a smidge, we talked about her not wanting Jon to tell anybody.
Right.
Well, Jon being Jon
told everybody.
Told everybody. Bran was like, it's up to you.
Good idea, bad idea?
I know, because it was kind of like, eh. But he pretty much was like, look, I have to swear it to you. And then Sansa's like, I don't know what it is to swear. And Arya, of course, you know, she's always thought the sun rose and set.
Mm-hmm.
And Jon, and of course, yes, blah, blah, blah. So then when we tell Sansa and Arya, and or Bran, I guess, does it, because it cuts away, you know it happened.
Right, right.
We later on find, you know, that it's coming out. And it's, have you seen the meme that says on a scale of Ned Stark to Sansa Stark, how well can you keep a secret?
No, I hadn't seen
it's
that.
It's amazing. I'm going to have to find it and tag you in it. But that's pretty much what it is. Tyrion and Sansa are having this big, like, debate and talking about, like, how it would behoove her to be civil with Dany and to, she doesn't have to like her, but to have that right. relationship as Lady of the North with the Queen of the Iron Throne. And in the course of conversation, Sansa just really is not having it. And when Tyrion's about to leave, Sansa's like, oh, BT dubs, what if there's a better option for the throne? And, oh, here we go.
I also find it interesting, and we'll get to this once we, well, everybody's leaving. They choose to split forces. Horrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
You've just been ravaged in this battle.
Everybody's tired.
Now, I do find it interesting that they come back and say, our forces are much more equal, which means Cersei never had that many. The Lannister army had been depleted after the first dragon attack, and then the Golden Company, they brought it back to level, which I was like, huh? I figured they were gutted, but it's real. They say it's going to be level, which is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
The strategy makes sense. I just feel like it's too quick to break out.
Yeah, and I mean, here they are. They get over there, and first and foremost, the fleets take out a chunk of them. I mean, they're getting washed up on the shore here because we know Greyjoy, you know, a couple of them are there and his fleet or whatever.
And big turning point there. We've gone from 3-1 in about 5 episodes.
Yeah.
And that's.
Yeah, it went
and we're
from,
talking dragons here.
And yeah, we've gone from everything. Like, it went from, like, okay. The White Walkers are going to be the big enemy here, and they might kill us all.
Now we're
whatever.
Losing to a crossbow.
Yeah, basically.
One crossbow.
Basically. So, and that's another notch taken out of Dany's belt.
Another, it's now it's
just her.
Because,
I mean, if she doesn't have the dragons, think of it that way. If she doesn't have the dragons.
She's nothing. No one respects her. No one fears her. Nobody's
right,
afraid of her.
Right, that was her big, I mean, from season one on, that was her big claim to the throne was
the dragons.
So then, you know, okay, what's the translator's name? Do you remember?
Missandei.
Yeah, Missandei. She gets captured.
During that, which to me is somewhat surprising.
Yeah.
You never saw, like, did they catch her on a skiff? Like, you never saw that. You kind of knew when they all hit the sand.
And they're like,
and
oh,
Grey Worm was like.
He's freaking out. Right. And he's diving in the water and all.
Right.
But yeah, it'd have been nice to have had some sort of Cersei got her, or the mountain got her.
Right.
Just kind of show what happened. Mm-hmm. It was just so in the dark and just left for your imagination there. And then we have this big, you know, where Cersei's looking down on everything, where and that's her favorite, you know, that's how she likes to be seen above everyone.
That's a very good point. I hadn't really thought about
it
that way.
Yeah, I mean, just her sense of power, it just kind of foreshadows her. And there's the exchange or whatever, and you kind of know what's...
there was an exchange, all right.
Yeah.
I still stand behind, I love that Tyrion, on the verge of, I mean, as much as she hates him and wants him dead, it was just a snap of the finger and he'd have been toast. But he walked right up to her and he pulled at her heartstrings.
The
and
baby.
I thought for a minute, he had her.
Mm-hmm.
He had her.
Because the look at her face was this, like, hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always been able to do that with her. Through the course of the entire series, there have been moments where she wanted him dead and could have had him dead. I mean, even after Joffrey was killed and she assumed it was him, I think in the back of her mind knew it wasn't him, but it was a reason to kind of get him to go
away. Another reason. Yep.
But
another reason to be rid of the person who is one of two people that can actually pull at her heartstrings.
Absolutely.
She wants to be just untouchable, emotionally blank, merciless person. And the two people that can get her are still around. So I think she's trying to be rid of the two of them.
Right.
Which is why Bronn showed up with a really cool, the crossbow. That scene, that exchange was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like when this all shakes out, he's going to be the reason that one of the two of them or both of them don't make the final montage. Like, he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
He's going to get it one way or another.
Well, he's been such a lovable character because the fact of he looks out for number one.
Yep.
And he, you know, he trained Jamie and he fought with everybody, but he's like, I have an ultimate goal and I want what I want and you're going to give it to me. And then when he comes in there and he, like, hits Tyrion in the nose and everything, he's like, you know, I ain't playing.
That's the first, I wonder if that decision was made out of fear. He's trying to cover both ends. He's paid regardless.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting paid regardless. And I'm wondering if one of the two takes it down and then Brahm is left in the wind and whoever takes the throne. Again, I'm going to go with whoever because I don't think it's going to be Daenerys. Put that out there. Whoever takes it isn't going to acknowledge Tyrion's suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And one or both of them are going to pay the ultimate price. But by his hand.
Yeah.
By his hand. So I just...
Out of nowhere.
He's going to get paid.
Yeah.
He also could be the only one who walks away empty-handed.
Maybe so.
Maybe he's okay walking away empty-handed because somebody paid the price.
Yeah.
He's my X factor at this point. Everything is going to hinge end game on him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Surprise.
I think his decision late, because he's not going to be a part of it. He's going to sit on the high ground and watch it all unfold.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to be sitting there on the plateau outside of town going, oh, yeah, this looks bad. All right. So it's going to be money. Yeah. Sweet. You know, he's that guy that has
my
no
time
play
to shine when everyone's weak, and I'll come in there and
he will get his
it.
He will pillage as he perceives when it's all come to rest.
That's a good... I like that.
I also think the exchange, like you talked about, was... I think that's just another... This episode was really the most difficult for Daenerys. She took it on the chin so many times.
Yeah,
this episode.
It definitely knocked her down so many levels. I mean, here she is begging Jon, please don't tell anybody, please don't tell anybody, please don't tell anybody. She probably knew in her heart of hearts he was going to tell him.
Oh, I don't think so. I think she's completely oblivious.
I don't know.
Nope, completely oblivious.
Well, she did reference the fact, though, that, you know, she wished that he never would have told her, and
right.
She would be truly happy. But would she be happy as in, I'm happily in love with you, or happy like, no, I know no one's in my way for the throne? And I think that's the
part.
There
it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the part. There's the selfishness that is, like, there. And then you have the dragon situation, and then you have, here we go, we're going to take your right-hand lady. And we're going to have her up here, and Cersei is going to let the mountain decapitate her in front of you.
Well, she certainly wasn't going to do it. And I am so tired of her hand. Cersei's hand? That guy creeps me out. Like, somebody call whoever the Chris guy is from NBC.
Chris Hansen.
Somebody call that guy.
Have a
guy. Have him follow that guy around.
Hey, have a
that
seat.
That guy creeps me out to no end. No, can't
creepy.
Do it.
Yeah.
And... I love his arrogance. I think he is exactly the hand that she wants because she knows him to not be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But he is also equally as devious and as hurtful. I mean, come on, look at the mountain. That dude should not be allowed to practice medicine
right,
at all.
Ever.
Yep. So I think there's a lot of stuff that Daenerys is not. She is really taking it on the chin this episode.
Yeah.
And then we finish with. And remember all of the ballista around the wall surrounding King's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're everywhere. That's all they've been focusing on, apparently. While everybody else was going to war, all she was doing was putting up that wall. That wall is dragon impenetrable,
mm-hmm.
which it won't be. Obviously, there will be a gap somewhere. There's
yeah,
no
of
way
course.
There won't
I mean,
be.
You know, we're going to go back to, like, the Hobbit here. There's going to be something that we can
right.
get
Right.
There's
through. Always something. Everybody avoids the Hobbits. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever worries about the Hobbits. Blah. Whatever. Those guys couldn't have stopped those eagles that saved the day four different times in those six movies.
Okay, so now we know we need to have a J.R.R. Tolkien podcast at some point here at Nerdfest.
Yeah.
But, and I guess it goes to show that maybe Cersei was right all along, where she was more so worried about man versus the dead.
Right.
And her not being part of that battle or whatever.
Leaves her in the
leaves her like
catbird seat.
Yeah, and it kind of is... you know, she has the availability to prepare for the upcoming battle that's going to come with Jon Snow, Daenerys, and everybody else, where everybody else was focused on keeping Man alive. Because at that point, if she's going to die, she's going to die. But if it works out.
She's
going
to die on the throne.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I can't have it, nobody can
have it. If I'm going out on top.
Right, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see where we go from here.
The conversation. I want to end on this.
Okay,
the conversation between Tyrion and Varys.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is made very clear to Varys, Tyrion... And I think for Tyrion, he has always been wishy-washy, And then Daenerys has been his focal point.
Mm-hmm.
Daenerys has allowed him to stretch out, that creative muscle, if you will, but albeit fighting for a cause. Whereas Varys has always, and he said it multiple times throughout the series, has been for the realm.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying his purse strings? Like, how at some point do you be that well connected? You're going to do this for the realm. Remember our prequels? Like, when we were first talking about this season started and our predictions, one of those two words?
I like them together. It's
yes,
nice. You're working it
The projections. Yes.
You heard it first. This is in the new, like, Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah, I can put that word
projections.
In.
Projections.
But I told you he'd be the key player. He would be the key player going throughout.
Well, I mean,
and
it,
here
it,
we are.
It kind of shows you, too, that a lot of it we've thought about, like, strength and brawn and, like, fighting and combat, but he is...
It's always been information.
Information.
The pen is
mightier.
Because,
I mean, that's one of the things he said. He was like, well, how many people know? And Tyrion's like, about 8. He's like, oh, well, when a handful of people know, like, 100 people are going to know.
Right.
Everybody's going to know. Like, it's if it was only Jon and you and Daenerys, whatever... But now, you know, it's gone out to so many people, you can't control it. It's going to be like wildfire. So it'll be interesting to see how this development and the part that these others do play in it. And so 2 episodes left.
So for the realm, are you Team Daenerys, Team Cersei, or Team Realm?
Mm.
Where are you at this point? We'll rehash this as we go along, I'm sure.
I don't know.
I am Team Realm.
Really?
The greater good. There is not enough greater good in any world currently.
I can get that.
I'm going greater good.
Maybe just like wipe it out and start fresh. Is that what you're kind of thinking?
Yep.
Like, let's just start from the beginning. Let's appoint an Iron Throne king.
This is where democracy is born.
Yeah.
No more
Maybe
kings.
Maybe so.
No more kings.
Maybe so. Maybe everybody rules their own little section and that's it.
Governance. Mm-hmm.
Because then you have Sansa over here.
Mm-hmm. You put Gendry.
Mm-hmm.
Over Storm's End.
Mm-hmm.
If Tyrion and or Jaime make it, that's Casterly Rock. King's Landing can be governed by anybody. Truthfully, it may not even have a territory.
Right.
But you've got Dragonstone, which will need a home. The Iron Islands are currently taken care of by Theon's sister. All you gotta do is fill the gap in and around that with any number of the generals they've got available and the houses and bannermen they've
wouldn't
got now.
Wouldn't be a problem.
Why not?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, democracy.
Here we go.
No more monarchy. Burning it down.
Burn it down.
That's right. So overall.
This episode?
Yep.
Last one, what did I give? I gave a pretty good score for the last one.
You were over a 9 last time.
This one I'm going to do 7.
7?
Yeah.
I was at a 4 until we lost 2 key factors in the dragon and Missandei.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving this one a 7.8.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is it was a little bit slower, but it was going to be slower going in.
Well, I mean,
it was a slow roll until the last 5 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
You just had a movie that we enjoyed for an hour and 30 minutes. I mean, nonstop action.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to be like, all right, well, I guess they have to let it breathe. And then I'm sure once we have some more battle scenes, it's going to be crazies.
So 2 more episodes, 1.5 each. But again, I think for me, the 7.8 is on the higher side because if it had been the slow roll and there was none of that at the end, it would have been a 4. But they did exactly what they needed to. This is Empire Strikes Back for me. All the good guys are on the ropes.
Here we go.
Let's get it done.
Star Wars reference.
And by the way, Dracarys. That's all I'm going to tell you. That is the word because I think that's what's going to drive Daenerys over the edge. Was Missandei saying she's accepted her fate. If you have any last words, now's the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What does she do? She gives the command to burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
That That's it. That's all she needs. That's all Daenerys is going to need. She's going to go in there and have got. She's going to get herself killed.
We're going to talk about that scene when Daenerys died.
Yep.
Next week.
Yeah, no. It'll go all the way to the end.
It'll be, yeah. Oh, yeah. Her and Dan, I mean, any of the majors
yep.
aren't going to die until the last one.
Yep. So I think we're out of all our majors are safe for another week.
Right, yeah.
I feel like your mid-majors. Also, Arya and the Hound off on the road again together. Awesome. Just saying.
They need their own spinoff show.
Oh, my gosh.
Like The Odd Couple.
Yes. That would be amazing. The travels in between.
Mm-hmm.
See, there you go. That's what you're going to get right here on Off Air Flair.
That's right.
What? Two more down. Two more to go. That's it. Go. Mm-hmm. That's all we got.